Good evening. Welcome again to evening worship. We are going through a series called The Vocabulary of Faith, the most important words you will ever know. Tonight, I'm going to preach on justification. If you have never heard that word, I'd like to welcome you to Presbyterianism. And I actually looked up justification on Wikipedia, and the very first line in the Wikipedia is, justification of faith is an important doctrine in the Lutheran and Reformed Christian churches. And then, like, in parentheses, it said Presbyterian, PCA, or something like that. I was like, we have made it. I'm going to read from God's Word, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 15 and 16 if you have your copy of God's Word. This is God's holy and inerrant Word. It says, we ourselves, this is Paul writing, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Let me pray for us. This is hard for us to believe, Lord. So I pray that you would give us hearts, you'd give us faith. And this is difficult for us to accept. So I pray that you would renew our minds and teach us a new way to think. And we pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, the word justification, the word itself, I went and looked on in the dictionary, and there are three definitions that you need to know, three important ones. The first one is, these are definitions, but they're also connotations, three ways in which the word is used. The first is in printing. I have in front of you an outline with some orange scribble scrabble on it. And it's justified. It is left justified. It's justified along the left. It's all got this nice, and this is an outline, so it's giving more justifications over here. It brings the printing into line. Also, justification can be used as a rationale. I'm going to justify this or what I'm going to do based on a rationale that I might have. I can do this. Sometimes it's just used falsely. You say it's okay for me to cheat on my taxes because the government is corrupt. That is a justification. I would say that's not a good one, but it is one all the same. And then lastly, theologically, there's justification. Justification by faith. God's declaring of someone as right in his sight, as righteous in his sight. And in our shorter catechism, there is a short little definition. The question is, what is justification? The answer is right there. I will do no better than the Westminster Divines. They said thusly, justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now, some of you probably have that memorized. I, at one point in my life, I had the larger catechism memorized because I really wanted to impress the people who would examine me at Presbytery, and it worked. And there is something ironic about the fact that I did something about justification in order to earn. Anyway, we'll come back to that later. I want to address justification in five ways, and the outline is going to spell a word. The word pride. And again, I know that is ironic, and we're going to come back to it. But I want five things. The word pride, P-R-I-D-E. I did not plan this with Claude. He preached on pride this morning. And while I was preaching, I thought, well, that's interesting. Five aspects of justification that we can draw from the definition that we find in the Westminster Standards, and also that we can draw from Paul's passage where he talks about justification being by faith. And by grace in faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. So the first thing that I want us to explore about justification is that justification is passive. You guys understand the difference between active and passive. When I was younger, my life was an active life. And as I get older, I become more and more sedentary, more and more passive. You might use this word passive in a different way, passive aggression. The best example, which I think I've used before, is that's just jiggling the door handle instead of asking for the person to unlock it when you walk to the car. That's passive. Passive is to not be active. And the first thing we need to know about justification is that God is the one who justifies. In fact, in the definition, it says justification is an act. It is an act of God's free grace. It is something that God does. We take no part in our justification. To be justified, we take no part in it. Our justification is not dependent even in the slightest degree upon us. And that the beauty of that is that that means that we can actually have assurance of salvation. Because if our justification was dependent in any way, in even small way, on us, then there was a chance that we could mess it up. But if our justification is dependent solely on God, then we can actually have assurance of salvation, because God is someone who always does what he says he's going to do. And if he says that he will justify you, then he will do it. We can trust him. He makes good on his promises. The irony of my own sinful condition, and I was actually just talking about this with a deacon, but is that I feel more justified when I do good and less justified when I am not doing so good. When I have sinned, I feel less justified. And when I'm feeling pretty righteous about myself, I feel justified. But do you see, like, and I'm talking about myself right now, not about you. I'm hoping that there's at least one other person here that feels this way. But do you see the irony and the ridiculousness of that? Because if the fact that I need to be justified indicates that I'm not doing very well. I'm not doing very well if I need to be justified. And I think it's important for us to remember this, is that, just as an example, we'll use Peter. Peter was just as justified, which is, say that three times fast, but he was just as justified before he betrayed Christ three times as he was after. He was, because justification is passive. It's not something that we create. It's something that God does. God does it. The second thing is that justification is received by faith. It is not earned. It is received by faith. There is no amount of trying, of efforting, of white knuckling that can justify us. There's no amount of effort. Everyone, okay, let's just, you're at night church. If you didn't know that already, I mean, come on. Everyone in here is like, I already know all this stuff. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's an unbeliever among us. In which case, this is some of the best news you'll ever hear. But what I want to do right now is I want us to talk for a second about how every one of us would say, yes, that's right. There's nothing we can earn. There's nothing we can do to be right with God. There's no work. But that is not how any other part of our existence works. Every other part of our existence is not justification by faith alone. Every other part of our existence is justification by our own works. When you are younger, it's pretty simple. If you obey your parents, you will get treats. And if you disobey your parents, you will get punishments if you have, you know, decent parents. Then you go to school and you find out that if you do your work, you will get good grades. And if you don't do your work, you will get bad grades. And then also you will either get treats and punishment from your parents. So it's like stacked on. It's two levels. And then once you get out of school, and you do that for, who knows, two decades. And then you get out of school and then you get an employer. And you find out that if you do good work, you will be rewarded with raises and promotions. And if you do bad work, you will be rewarded with pink slips and being fired. Do you see that there is not one iota of your life that it's all justification by works? All of it is. It's all, if I do a good job, I will receive. That's why when we say that Jesus was radical, that's what we mean, okay? Like, he was, you know, he was radical because the gospel is radical because there's everything else in your life, and you're doing it right now. You're living out. I'm doing it right now. We're living out justification by works and not by faith. I'll give you an example. I'm a parent, okay? And I have not figured this out yet, and some of you will come and give me parenting advice later, and I will remember some of it and forget it later. It's not important at this point. But when you're teaching your children, you're teaching them, do good and you'll be rewarded, do bad and you will be punished. That's what I'm doing every day with Campbell. And that's good parenting. And yet, even that, can you see how justification by faith alone, that someone would be justified and right with God, not based on anything they've ever done, that they just received it, that they didn't have to do anything to get it. Do you see how counterintuitive that is? I think one of the reasons why the gospel is so weak in our country is because we believe in justification by faith, but it's so hard for us to live it out because we live a justification by works. Can I tell you one example of where I saw someone do something that really shocked me and where justification became real for me? When I worked at Lawndale, I served at Lawndale Presbyterian Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. And we had our big, as churches do, I don't know, we don't do one of these, but this is kind of like a small church thing. But at small churches, you have like a kickoff, like a fall kickoff. I don't know who does them. It's not important. The point is that we had ours, and we had catered barbecue on a Wednesday night. And it started at 6, and we had, of course, the assistant pastor was in the dunking booth. Of course, I was in the dunking booth. We were playing the games, and there was the blow-up things and all of that, and it was going on. And the ladies and the men who were in charge of the barbecue, we had it catered, and we kept waiting and waiting and calling and calling. And an hour passed by, and the food had not arrived. And an hour and a half passed by, and people were getting ready to leave. And finally, they showed up. And they were like, we made a huge mistake. We, for some reason, thought this started at 7, and we got your calls and whatever, and they finally brought the food. And they said, we're going to comp this because it's so late. And you know what our senior pastor did? And I'm the only one who heard him say this. So either he was saying it just for me or he truly believed it, which I think it's the latter. As he said, you know what? We're just going to pay you anyway because we believe in mercy. You don't earn anything here. And that blew me away. Because I was like, we're about to get some free barbecue. And it blew me away because that person in that moment, that barbecue cooker or whatever, he all he did is receive. He just received. And he didn't receive a bad mark on his name. His business is still doing fine. He just received it. We just received justification. We just receive grace by faith. We receive it. The third thing. Oh, one last thing before we leave is that we have to be very careful about this, because even when we recognize that everything we have has been given to us, we are very good, adept even, at taking things that we have received and treating them as if they are things we've earned. I am an expert at this, all right? Things that I have no business, like, taking credit for, I can twist that around in my mind and with my speech to make it seem like I deserve the credit for this, even though I received it. And so we have to be very careful to realize that justification means that we are in a posture of reception, of receiving. Passive, received. Thirdly, it is imputed. And that is a word that we don't use very frequently. It is imputed by God to us. It is not native to us. It is not natural. It says, imputed to us, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. The justification means that Christ's righteousness, which is foreign or alien, it is given to us. Right? This is a poor analogy, but I'll use it anyway. It is like receiving a heart transplant. That heart, or any kind of organ, really, that organ used to not be a part of you, and now it is a part of you. It was a part of someone else. It's a heart transplant. Someone had to die to give that to you. And that is exactly what happened here. Jesus Christ had to accept and have your sin and the punishment it deserves imputed to him. And he gives you righteousness. It is foreign. It is alien. And what that means for us is that means if we're going to live out justification, that we're going to have to go against our natural instincts. Our natural instincts are not those of justification. Our natural instincts are often works righteousness. And when someone does something bad to me, if they hit me, to stab them, and if they stab me, to shoot them, and, you know, like, to, you know, that's, I guess, a little extreme, but I mean, if they gossip about me, for me to gossip about them, to pay back and to hold grudges and to be bitter and to cheat and to lie, in order. These are our natural, like, you don't have to teach a child how to lie. You never had. None of you taught your kids how to lie, and yet they've all lied. All your kids are liars. Look out. What a wonderful message for me to say. But no one taught me how to lie, and I'm a liar. How did that happen? It's because my natural inclination is to preserve myself at all cost over anyone and everything. That I'm the most important. And what this is this, when I receive something that is foreign, that is alien, it means I'm going to have to go against those natural reactions. And that's a very difficult thing to do. Fourthly, justification is declarative. It is declarative. It's not definitive. Justification is declarative. And this, what this means is that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, and when he was resurrected, God accepted that as a perfect sacrifice, and he took that righteousness and he imputed it to our account. He declared us as righteous. He did not make us righteous. He declared us as righteous. All right? There is a difference between a declaration and a definition. You have not arrived. And this is where the world doesn't understand Christianity. This is the most frustrating thing to me this is not the most frustrating thing, but it is one frustrating thing about the world and Christianity and how the world doesn't understand Christianity. Wait until a famous Christian sins publicly. Wait until that happens. Lord forbid it, but let's say that Tim Tebow is mixed up in something really bad. All right, there's a famous person who has worn his faith on his sleeve. And no matter what you think about him, he's known in the secular world as a Christian. Wait until he messes up and does something and watch the reaction. The reaction is this. See, he's supposed to be a Christian and he did that. Christianity is a bunch of junk. That's what the world's going to say. You're supposed to be a Christian and you did this or that. Man, your faith is a lie. I don't even know. I mean, like, I want to just scream at those people, but I can't because I'm supposed to be like Christ and turn the other cheek, or I don't know. But I just want to say, like, the whole point of my faith is that I don't have it all together. The whole point of my faith is that I'm a sinner. All right. The whole point of Christianity is that I'm going to mess up. That I'm like Peter. I'm going to deny Christ. Today, I have denied Christ and I've sinned. And I did all last week. And even though I'm being sanctified and I'm growing more and more like Christ through the powerful operation of his Spirit, I'm a sinner. So my sin does not nullify the gospel. Your sin does not nullify the gospel. It only makes it true. Justification. We are declared righteous. But we have not arrived. And it's very easy to think that you have arrived. It leaks into our speech and the way we talk about people who think differently or act differently than us. We speak about them with an air of superiority. We say things, that sound like we think we've got it all figured out. But the hallmark of our faith is that we don't. That God has declared us righteous for Christ's sake, not because we are righteous. Lastly, it's passive, it's received by faith, it's imputed, it's declarative, and lastly, it's eternal. It is not temporary, it is not conditional. Justification is eternal. It's a once-for-all act. It is perfect. It does not need maintenance. I have a lot of pride about my car. And some of you have seen my car and wonder why I have pride in it. And it's got one missing door handle, and one of them is the wrong color. And I just found out that I have a brand new security system. It's called ANTS. So if you try to, I don't have like a real alarm, but if you try to steal my car, good luck. I leave it unlocked in hopes that someone would take it. But no takers so far. Anyway, yeah, I can't imagine someone walking through our parking lot being like, that's the one I want right there. My car needs a lot of maintenance in order to keep going. It's got to have fuel. It's got to have the oil changed. It's got to have, not a ton of maintenance, but I've had it for 13 years, and it's had to have maintenance to keep going. If I don't maintain it, it just breaks down. The engine locks up. You ever hear, sometimes you hear about people that go to college. I heard about one girl who went to college and she went 4 years at school and she never got her oil changed. And then one day her car just stopped working and we couldn't figure out why. And there it was. Hear me when I say this. Your justification doesn't need, it's perfect. It needs no maintenance. You couldn't maintain it anyway, but it doesn't need it. It is unassailable. Justification is perfect. It needs no maintenance. It is also permanent. It doesn't go away. It doesn't. This is why we can't base our faith strictly on our feelings. All right. There's a really important place for feelings and there's a really important place for objective truth. And God honors and loves both of those things. And if you don't have both of them, I don't know if you really have Christianity. You've got to have both of them. But we don't base everything solely on our feelings because our feelings come and go. Sometimes I am super excited and sometimes I am very angry and sometimes I am sad and sometimes I'm tired and sometimes I'm energetic and dancing around the house. And sometimes I am, you know, just like you. It's always changing. It's always moving. Justification is permanent. It doesn't go away. We can't lose our grasp of it. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that those who are his sheep, that he has them in his hand and that no one can take them from him. When Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," he actually meant it. He actually meant it, that was it, that it was all done. So justification is passive. God does it, not us. It is received by faith. It cannot be earned. It is imputed. It is not native or natural to us. It is declarative. It's not definitive. And it is eternal. It is not conditional. Well, so what? Okay? Good acrostic. So what? Well, I just want to suggest to you, how do you live that out at the law office tomorrow or around the water cooler or at school or wherever? How do you live out justification tomorrow? Well, I just got a couple of things and then we'll close. A justified life is one of great confidence. One who is justified by God is someone who is very confident because their salvation is in God's capable and merciful hands. They're confident because they have an ace up their sleeve. They have something that they can count on. And so they are confident. Are you confident in your faith? One time at RYM, I was the MC and I was kind of making fun of the band, which is always a good thing to do at RYM. You just kind of give the band a hard time. And the band was like, "We challenge you to a basketball game. You pick four people. And any four people, and we will take you guys down in a basketball game." And I was like, "Let's go." And that's fine. And so the last night of junior high RYM, these five band members got out there. And some of them were like really good basketball players. But I was very, very confident. Extremely confident. I'm terrible at basketball, by the way. I should share that immediately. But I did know this guy named Blake Smith, and he played at Troy. He was there, and so he was on my team. And this other kind of big guy named Cameron Gilmer, and I knew him too. And I was like, "Hey, Cameron, why don't you be on my team?" And then Joey Stewart's son is 6'11". And so I said, "Hey, why don't you be on my team?" And then there was another youth minister who was just a hulk of a man who played offensive tackle for a small school. And I said, "I've got my four." I walked out there, and I was very, very confident. I was like, "You guys are going down." And all I did was provide turnovers and injuries and missed shots, and we still won easily. We dominated them. They were very frustrated afterwards. But I was confident, not in my own abilities. I was confident because I had someone else's abilities. I had them at my disposal. Are you confident? Because if you're a Christian, your salvation is in Christ, and he has it. He's got this. The second thing is that a justified life is one that's a life of great humility for the same exact reason. A justified life is one of great humility because your salvation is from God. It's not from yourself. We believe that God chose us in his grace and that we did nothing to earn that choice and that he loves us. And we're not even really sure why, except that he's good and he's gracious and merciful. We believe that about ourselves, and that ought to fuel our humility. Not, "Hey, we're Presbyterian. We've got our doctrine right." We do have our doctrine pretty good. Not all the way, but we've got it pretty good. Okay. But an attitude of humility. Because we didn't do anything to earn our salvation. Not one thing. I didn't do any of it. God justified me. And I'm an awful sinner. And so I'm very humble around other people that are sinners. When I meet people, I always delay telling them I'm a pastor. Not because I'm embarrassed, but just because I'd like the conversation to keep going. And normally it stops after that. Lots of people that I've met have said, I can't believe this whole time you were a pastor and you let me say this or that. And I always tell them, you've said nothing worse than I've said. You've done nothing worse than I've done. I believe that to be true. Do you believe it? So a justified life is one of great confidence and also of great humility. And a justified prayer sounds a little like this. In Luke 18, Jesus tells us this. And I'll let this lead us to the table. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, and this is all too often how I sound. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector was standing far off, and would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he just beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The best way that you can respond to the doctrine of justification is to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And Jesus, when you do that, Jesus will look at you and he will say, here is my body broken for you. And here is my blood spilled for you. I know how bad you are, and I will go to the cross anyway. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, help us to live out justification. Well, we've heard it a million times. Help us to live it out. With our families, with our friends and our coworkers, with everyone that you have in our context, Lord, please help us to live out this justification. Help us to receive it by faith. And Lord, help us to live it out. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.